Christmas really is all about Jesus. And I just want to tell you that when he came to earth, he came, listen, it was God in the form of a human body. Now, I know that may stir some things, but there's a lot of false doctrines in our world, a lot of, goofy things being taught today in the body of Christ. But I think one of the hardest for me to just imagine or grasp is the idea that some people have that Jesus was not truly God. You know what? It doesn't matter what people think or the opinion of man. What really matters is what the Scripture says. And I just want to encourage you with this morning. I'm going to share a lot of Scripture with you, and I'm not even going to apologize today. Sometimes I have, and I probably shouldn't have, because, again, it's not the opinion of man that really matters. And you know, nobody cares about my opinion, but how about God's opinion? And we just need to always go by what the Word of God says. And this morning, we're going to read some of the Christmas story again. It never gets old to me. But I think there are some powerful truths that we need to see, we need to hear and believe in that Christmas story. I believe for some of you today that the Scriptures are going to give you some answers to some questions that you've had. I believe some of you today, your faith is going to be strengthened. There's going to be a greater resolve and conviction about the things that you believe. And for some of you, maybe for the first time, you'll come to a place of real faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to begin with part of the Christmas story in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Verses 18 through 25. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" I want to just pause here for a moment just to say this again. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. This is why the virgin birth is so important. He was not just another man. He was a man, but he was also God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Verse 22, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The angel said to call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And as I said before, the name Jesus means the Lord saves. But according to the prophecy, he is also known as Emmanuel, which is God with us. He came in the most humble way, and yet the most supernatural, awesome thing, that God came to earth in a human body to live and die as a perfect man to pay the price for our sins. 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6 says, "There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all." The only way that he could pay the price for our sins was as a man, listen, not born with a sinful nature. He's not like anybody else. He was not born with a sinful nature. The Bible tells us plainly that we were all born in sin. He was not born in sin. He was not born with a sinful nature. He was born with a divine nature. And it's Jesus and Jesus alone who could live that sinless life and be the sacrifice to pay for our sins. I want to read the prophecy that he's talking about here in the book of Matthew. It was recorded about 700 years before the birth of Jesus. It is in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 7:14, he says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." This is a sign, all right. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." It's amazing to me that in the day and the time that we live in, there's so many that would pervert and twist the word of God, that there are those who want to change the word virgin there to young woman. That wouldn't have been a sign. Here's a sign. A virgin is going to conceive. And the child that she's going to have, they're going to call him God with us, Emmanuel. Oh, we need to hold to the truths of the word of God and not allow the influence not only of an ungodly world, but a religious culture to begin to move us away from this truth that God came to earth that day. God in the form of a little baby in the flesh. In Isaiah 9:6-7, he writes, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Notice it said a child is born. And then it says he will be called Mighty God. How do you call a child Mighty God? Who is this child that could be called the Everlasting Father? I don't know how anybody who claims to believe the Bible cannot know that Jesus is God. This child will be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The Son of God, he was God in the flesh. He came to earth to save us, born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life as a man so that he could die for the sin of man. Then he rose from the dead because the justice of God had been satisfied. That's why we are all forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did. He paid the price. How did he do it? Born of a virgin, lived a sinless life. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He was the only one that could do it. How? Because he's not just another man. He's the God-man, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh. Was Jesus really God in the flesh? Let's just look at the scripture some more. John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." I know that some of the things that I'm sharing this morning, some of the scriptures I'm sharing this morning, for some people, it's hard for them to really wrap their mind around it and really understand that a child is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And here we're talking about the Word. The Word was there in the beginning. It was with God, and the Word was God. And I'm just going to go ahead and stop right here and get this out of the way. You see, sometimes when we don't understand things, or, you know, we want to be able to figure everything out and understand everything there is to understand about the scripture and about God, we want to get it right now. I want to tell you, you spend your life getting to understand. The more that you learn and the more that you grow, You see, because if you think that there are things in the Bible that are wrong or that contradict themselves, let me tell you, you just need to learn more. I'm pretty old now. Getting older. And here's the thing, I'm still learning. I'm still understanding more as the days go by. And we just need to understand this about God, that He is so awesome and so infinite. But there is a way that we can know Him. There's so much that we can understand about Him through the Scriptures. And so we always look to the Scriptures and believe what the Scriptures say. You know, if you begin to study nuclear physics, I want to tell you something, you're not going to get it all in a day. In fact, you'll never get it all because it's an expanding field. The more you learn, there's going to be that much more to learn. And nobody expects to learn that in a day, do they? No, that would be dumb. Nuclear physics is not worthy of being called a speck in the mind of an infinite God who flung the stars into space by the word of His mouth. How can we imagine what an awesome God He is? But He reveals Himself to us through His word. His word made flesh, who dwelt among us. That's right. This Word who was with God and who was God, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was God. And now the Word has taken on flesh. Has God changed? He says, I, the Lord, do not change. The one who was with God and who was God, now He is taken on flesh. We beheld the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in verse 18 of that chapter, no one has seen God at any time. The Scripture is true. No one has seen God at any time. Now, this is one of those things we're going to talk about here for a few minutes, because this is one of those things that for a lot of people is really hard to understand, and maybe for some it will bring some answers and help you, but listen, the Word never contradicts itself. No man has seen God at any time. Jesus showed us who the Father is, but no man has seen God in all of His fullness. No man has seen the face of God. The Scripture says it several times very clearly. But Jesus has revealed God to us in the form of a human body that we can look upon. Exodus 33 and 11. It's a scripture that a lot of people are familiar with, at least the truth of what it says. It says the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Moses never saw the face of God. Pastor, you just read, Moses spoke to God face to face as a man with his friend. It's talking about that personal relationship, the closeness, the dialogue that he had with God, like a man talking with his friend. He's not saying that he saw the face of God. How do I know that? Listen, we don't even have to go to another book of the Bible. We don't even have to go to another chapter of the Bible. Because he tells us this very plainly, just 9 verses later, the Lord says to Moses, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. You see, this awesome God, the Bible tells us He dwells in inapproachable light. No man can see His face and live. But He has revealed Himself in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1:1-3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Now, I want you to just focus in on what it tells us here about Jesus. The heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. How did the worlds come into being? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. That's what Hebrews 11 tells us. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Who did this? Jesus, God in the flesh. When you see Jesus, when you look at Jesus, you see the brightness and the glory of the Father. They are one. He is the express image of God. Now, none of us had the privilege of being alive or walking this earth at the same time that Jesus did. How do we look at Jesus? Well, we look at Jesus with eyes of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:18 tells us we don't look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. How do you look at something that's not seen? Eyes of faith. And then Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that as we live this life, we are looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. And when we look at Jesus by faith, we look at Jesus, what do we see? Colossians 1:15 through 19 tells us this. He's the image of the invisible God. No man has seen God at any time. But Jesus, when we look at Jesus by faith, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, again, by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Jesus was born in a manger in the flesh. But get this, he is before all things. Jesus didn't come into being when he was born in the manger. He was before all things. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He still is. Verse 18, it says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. All the fullness of what? Well, it's just a few verses later in Colossians 2:9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. See, some people have the attitude that Jesus is kind of like, well, a piece of God or sort of God. You need to know that you know that you know who Jesus is, that in him dwells all of the fullness of God in a bodily form. Hallelujah. All the religions of man trying to find God, trying to invent God. I want to tell you, there is so much a Christian version of this even, where they try to make God who they think he ought to be. I want to tell you, he is who he is. And the truth is that God reached out to us. He revealed, he showed who he is to us in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Listen, 1 Timothy 3:16 says, God was manifested in the flesh. There it is. God revealed himself in the flesh in the Lord Jesus Christ. justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. How was God manifested in the flesh? It was not physical appearance. I don't want to disillusion anybody, but the Lord Jesus was not a movie star. Nor was he some vision, a dream, or imagination of some artist as they drew this or painted this beautiful picture of what the Savior must have looked like. You know, all that stuff kind of reminds me of the little girl that's sitting in class one day, and first grade teacher comes by and sees that she's drawing something, and she says, "What are you drawing?" And the little girl says, "I'm drawing God." And the teacher says, "Well, nobody knows what God looks like." And the little girl says, "Well, they will in a minute." I just got to tell you, you see, when we conjure up, or we, you know, we see these pictures of Jesus, and we think, "Oh, that's what." You need to know this. This is what Isaiah prophesied, what Isaiah said about Jesus in Isaiah 53:2. "He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." No, there's nothing about Jesus' physical appearance that drew people to him. It was his character and his person. It was the life that he lived, and it was the things that he said and the things that he did. This is how God was manifested in the flesh in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was by the things that he said, the things that he did, the life that he lived, the way that he died and rose from the dead. In John 14:7-11, it says, "If you had known me," this is Jesus speaking, he says, "you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." He didn't say, "From now on, you know me and you've seen me." He said, "From now on, you know him and have seen him." No, they didn't see him in inapproachable light. They saw him in a human body, God in the flesh. This is how they could know God. And I want to tell you, this is how we can really know and understand God, is when we see the Lord Jesus revealing to us the character, the person of God. Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." It just didn't get it. Neither do we much of the time. Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." Jesus talks about him and the Father being one, and he's in the Father, the Father's in him. This is how the child is called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Because the Father is in him and he's in the Father, they are one. That's why that prophecy is fulfilled. How do we see God in Christ? I'm going to say it again. It's through his words, the things that he says. We see who God is in the things that he says. The words of Jesus, they're the words of the Father. You know, Jesus tells about the shepherd that leaves the 99 to go and to look for that one lost sheep. He's revealing to us the heart of God, that God wants to reach that one who strayed away, that one who is lost. And when he brings home that sheep, when one person turns in repentance to God, there's rejoicing around the throne of God. See, Jesus is revealing God to us when he tells the story about what we call the prodigal son that took his inheritance and he went out and he wasted it all on sinful living. But there came a day when he just wanted to go home to the Father's house again. And Jesus shows us the heart of God when he tells us that the Father went running to meet him, to restore him, not as a servant, but as a son. Yes, we see God in the words of Jesus and the things that Jesus did. When the religious people brought a woman caught in the very act of adultery, and they accuse her before Jesus, says that she should be stoned, Jesus shames her accusers. He exposes their hypocrisy, that none of them can cast a stone at her because they all have sin. And then he tells the woman, the only one who could have condemned her, he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus is revealing to us who God is. And everything that he says, everything that he does, when the blind call out to him for mercy and he shows them compassion by healing them. All through the Gospels, we see Jesus saying things and doing things. It's revealing God to us. And I want to tell you this morning, read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the Gospels. See who this Jesus is. He is God in the flesh, and he will reveal the Father to you as you read the Gospels. We're living in a time where so many people don't think it's necessary or worth their time to read the Bible. They'll watch countless videos and scroll and all. Come on. You need to read the Word of God. If you want to know God, this is more important than who's doing what in this world. I like this leather and these pages when I read and spend time with the Lord. But you know, it's a wonderful thing. You don't have to have this. Well, you can use an iPad or a phone or a computer, but get the Word of God. You don't even have to be able to read. Because you can just tell Google to read it to you. It'll read it out loud for you. You can listen to the Word of God while you're driving down the road, while you're fixing your hair. I'm talking to the ladies. Some of you guys thought I was talking to you. No, we need to love the Word of God because what it reveals to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the Father and the only begotten. I'm just telling you, we need to read the Word. It will show you the heart of God and who He is, what He's like. See, when we see Jesus calming the storm, we see the power of God. When we see Jesus living this sinless life, his entire life, we see the holiness of God. When we see Jesus eating with sinners, we see the grace of God. When we see Jesus dying on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing, we see the love of God. He revealed God to us. I've never seen Jesus physically. Oh, but I have seen Jesus in the Scriptures again and again and again. And I've seen Jesus in what he does in this world today. Listen, Jesus is God revealing himself in a way that all mankind can understand. God revealing himself. God in the flesh. He showed us who the Father is. Some people today, it's amazing, they just don't really believe that Jesus is God. And they'll even say things like, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, they just need to read the Bible. I'm just going to give you a few things this morning. Well, we've already talked about several, but I'm going to give you a few more things this morning that makes it real clear who Jesus was. In John 6:38, Jesus himself says, I've come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I came down from heaven. Where was he? Heaven. What's he doing in heaven if he's just a man? How did he get to heaven? He's always been right there. He was there when he said, let us make man in our own image. He's always been there since the very beginning. But he came down from heaven and he did the Father's will. In John 8:58 and 59, Jesus said to the Jews, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. He wasn't just saying, hey, I existed. He's using the holy name of God, that name that they were never to say or take in vain, that name that the Lord told Moses to use when he went to talk to the children of Israel to bring them out of Egypt. It's Exodus 3:14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Moses is like, who do I say sent me? And the Lord says, I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And when Jesus says to those Jews, before Abraham was, I am, they knew exactly what he meant. And here's their response. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Jesus. We've already talked about some of these, but in John 10:30, he says, I and the Father are one. In John 14:9, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And some of the disciples, you know, it's hard for us to imagine. But there's doubting Thomas. There's a lot of doubting Thomases today. Thomas, he said, unless I touch the scars. Jesus let him touch the scars. You know what his response was? He said, my Lord and my God. That's what he called him. He said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus, of course, he says, blessed are those who haven't seen and believe. That's you and me. He's our Lord and our God. Amen. Jesus, he makes it so clear who he is. You know, the Lord told his people in Isaiah 44:6, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last. Beside me, there is no God. Then in the last chapter of the Bible, one of the last things that Jesus says, he says in Revelation 22:13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Only God can say, I'm the first and the last. And Jesus makes this claim. Now we're going to go back to the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 2. We're going to continue on in chapter 2. I love the Christmas story. Me and Jimmy. The rest of you endure. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Wise men. Love the story of the wise men. who saw his star and they came to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." Pretender. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, that's right, house. Oh, but Luke says it was in the stable, in the barn, at the manger. The Bible contradicts itself. No, it doesn't. This isn't the same time frame. They didn't say when they came into the house, there was the baby, here was the child. This is later. Just telling you, we need to read the Bible, study the Bible, and know what the Bible says. You read a few verses here and there, and you go, "Oh, that doesn't make sense. The Bible doesn't." Yes, it does. It all fits together. We just have to keep learning and growing. Sorry, I'm sidetracking here. When they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, they fell down and worshiped him. They worshiped him. They knew who he was. Somehow, these wise men knew who this was, and they worshiped him. They weren't worshiping a man. They didn't worship Herod, the reigning king. But they worshiped this young child, and they presented treasures and gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. We all know that story of the wise men, how that they came and worshiped him, but maybe we need to hear the story of the unwise men. It's there. It's just a little bit more difficult to recognize. But think about this. Here's Herod. He's heard about this newborn king. He has no interest at all in worshiping him, even though he says that he wants to come and worship him also. And he calls for his unwise men, the scribes and the priests. These were people that were supposed to be wise. They actually knew the scripture. When Herod asked them where this child was supposed to be born, they knew the prophecy. But they didn't believe. They were unwise. So strange that those that should have known, you see, they knew, but they didn't believe. They knew the location, but they didn't know the incarnation, the who this was, that this was God in the flesh. You know, throughout the ministry of Jesus, the scribes, the priests opposed Jesus, fought against him, ultimately called for his crucifixion. There may have been a few of them that thought he was a good man or even a prophet, but by and large, this is who they were. They wanted no part of this one who was born in the manger, that came to reveal God to us. It's amazing. Even though they were educated, even though they were religious, even though they knew the scripture, yet somehow they totally missed it. I want to tell you the truth this morning. There are a lot of people that are exactly like that in our generation. Some of them are educated, they're smart, they're intelligent. In fact, they're prideful about it. Some of them are even religious. Some of them can quote the Bible, just like these guys could quote the Bible. But they don't believe. They don't know Him. It's really strange. You see, they draw the line that Jesus, being God incarnate, they'll say He was a good man. They'll say He was a great teacher. They'll say He was a great religious leader. They'll say that He's a great example. But wait a minute. Not God. He's not God. They draw the line on the most important truth of all, that Jesus was God incarnate, born of a virgin, without a sinful nature, lived a sinless life. He came to die for us so that we could be reconciled to God. Here's the issue. Here's the problem. You can't say that Jesus was a good man or a great religious leader or a great teacher or anything else if you don't accept what He says about Himself. You're only left with two options. He's either a liar or a lunatic. Because no man who calls himself the I Am and isn't is any of those things. I believe He is who He said He is. Everything that He said He is. I don't know why these unwise men chose not. Can you imagine? These are the religious leaders and they know about this, but they weren't interested in going with the wise men to worship. Why? I don't know. Maybe it was the fear of man, that they were afraid of what Herod would do. Maybe, you know, they were in good with Herod and they didn't want that to change. I want to tell you, there's a lot of people today that rather than to truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and turn their life over to Him, they would rather have the approval of man. They're afraid of what somebody else might say or think or do. Maybe these guys, they were just like, well, you know, y'all go do that. You know, we've got responsibilities. A lot of people think they're too busy. A lot of people think that they've got, you know, I'm important, I got my life, I got all this to take care of. I want to tell you, none of it matters if you leave Jesus out of the equation. We don't know why they didn't. But I just want to tell you this morning, the important thing is that we truly believe that He is who He says He is. Every society, every culture has developed systems and philosophies, vain religious attempts for finite man to grasp the infinite, the Almighty God. And I want to tell you, it never works that way. We can't ever be smart enough. We can't ever do enough to restore the relationship between God and man. Listen to this, one last verse of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 1:21. Since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The reconciliation between God and man could never be achieved by human wisdom or works. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by God coming to earth himself to pay the price for our sins. And listen, we just have one part in this. It said, to save those who believe. Believe. Believe in him, who he is, all that he says about himself, all that the scripture says about him. Stand with me. We're going to pray. We want prayer partners to come.